Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for you feed us. You feed us with your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. The Spirit who lets us know the will of the Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify you in this place. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us. Speak to us, Father. May we get today what we're supposed to get. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Yes, you're welcome. I thank you, Damba, for leading us in that awesome session of praise and worship. We continue with lessons from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. And as you all know, we are using the ebook edition, the edition that he made available in 2010. And the copyright information page is our page one. Amen. Today we are going to talk about attaining true greatness. But before we get into that, let's have a recap of the previous lesson, the lesson that we had last week, that we entitled Discerning the Lord's Body. So we said last week that we are all members of the body of Christ with roles to play for the benefit of all the other members. And we say that failure to play our role or to discern how other members are meant to benefit us spells weakness, sickness, and death. Amen? And we emphasize the fact that we should always endeavor to only do what the Father commands. All right? Only do what the Father commands. Hallelujah. So, attaining true greatness. Our theme of scripture is Matthew chapter 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we are going to attain true greatness, we are going to have to seek first. Okay? The kingdom of God. All right, that is the first thing we have to do. I believe it is not only the first thing, but it is also the only thing. All right? Seeking the kingdom. You know, seeking the kingdom should always be first. Okay? If we have that mentality in everything that we do in life, then we shall attain the true greatness. Amen? Amen? In the kingdom of God, a kingdom, the most important thing about a kingdom is the king. All right? The king. Now, in the kingdom of God, the king is Jesus. All right? So, seeking first the kingdom of God means that first and foremost, you seek, basically, you endeavor to please the king, all right? To please Jesus, all right? And if you do that, or if we do that, then we shall attain true greatness, all right? The second most important thing in a kingdom are the people, all right? There's nothing more important in a kingdom than Jesus and his people. All right? So, if you're going to attain true greatness in the kingdom of God, number one, like we said, you have to endeavor to please the king, first and foremost. Number two, you have to be mindful, first and foremost, to be a blessing to his people. Glory be to God. Amen. So that is our theme scripture. But seek first the kingdom of God, all right, and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added. All right. Now let's open the final quest. Page 33, paragraph 6, the last sentence in that paragraph, paragraph 6 of page 33, that last sentence reads, it says that the door that requires the most sacrifice to enter will always take us to the highest level. All right? The highest level for the purposes of this Bible study means the highest level of greatness. All right? So the door that requires the most sacrifice to enter will always take us to the highest level. So, because we want to attain true greatness or to attain the highest greatness, we have to discover what that door is, the door that requires the most sacrifice. Because if you discover it and you walk through it, then you will attain the highest level, or you will attain true greatness. All right? Now, on the same page, let's go a little backwards to paragraph 2. Paragraph 2. Are you there? Paragraph 2, Rick Joyner here is talking with the ego. All right? The ego who last week we learned is a prophet. All right? And remember, Rick Joyner had been up the mountain. Now the ego here is telling him that basically you passed me up, okay? And I saw you, and I saw many people who are going up, and I also wanted to follow them. I wanted to follow them, but I also wanted to stay at this level of the mountain to take care of some other business, Okay? Then, so he says here, in paragraph 2, he says that when I finally, this is the ego, the prophet, he said, when I finally committed myself to doing the Lord's will, okay, you see, doing the Lord's will, whether it was to stay or go, wisdom appeared to me and showed me this door. He said it was a shortcut to the top. That is how I was able to reach the top before you did. All right? There's a shortcut that takes you to the top of the mountain, that takes you to the highest level, okay? That enables you to attain true greatness. All right? So, the ego says, when I finally committed myself to doing the Lord's will. All right? So, committing ourselves to doing the Lord's will, okay, will enable us. You see, when he did that, that's when wisdom appeared to him and showed him the door. The door that is a shortcut. All right? Okay? Doing the will of the king. Okay? For the sake of the kingdom. Okay? Now, let's go back to paragraph 6. paragraph 6, there's a sentence which reads, it says that spiritual maturity is always determined by our willingness to sacrifice our own desires for the interests of the kingdom or for the sake of others. The door that requires the most sacrifice to enter will always take us to the highest level. Okay? By the way, we're going to repeat ourselves a lot in this Bible study, as you have already noticed. Okay? So it says, spiritual maturity is always determined by our willingness to sacrifice our own desires for the interests of the kingdom or for the sake of others. You see, the interests of the kingdom, okay? The interests of the king, or for the sake of others, those are the people, the subjects of the king, okay? Jesus' people, Jesus' kids, okay? Then he says that the door that requires the most sacrifice to enter will always take us to the highest level. The sacrifice here is basically what it has said in the previous sentence. Okay? Sacrificing our own desires for the interest of the kingdom. Glory be to God. Okay? Then the ego also said that I did not go directly to the top, and I haven't met anyone who has. But I went there much faster than most because I had learned so much about self-sacrifice while fighting here on the level of salvation. Okay? So the point here is self-sacrifice, alright, will get us to the top of the mountain faster than anything. Alright? Self-sacrifice. We are talking about attaining true greatness. True greatness is being at the top in the things of God, or according to God's true rankings. All right? And here it says that self-sacrifice, this ego got to the top of the mountain much faster, okay, than many people. Why? Because of he had learned, what it means by self-sacrifice. And he had not only learned it, but he was living by it. It was not just head knowledge, it was his way of life. Self-sacrifice. Glory be to God. That is a pathway to true greatness in the kingdom. Self-sacrifice. Seek first the kingdom of God. Alright? And his righteousness. Seek first. A kingdom, like we say, the most important bit of a kingdom is the king. All right? So you seek first the interest of the king before yours. Number two, you seek the interest of other people. You know, the people in the kingdom before yours. And when you do that, you know, it is a shortcut to true greatness in the kingdom. Glory be to God. Amen? We're not talking about greatness in the world. Most of these things are fake, man. Hallelujah. Like you know, these things are fake. That's why this Bible study is not entitled Attaining Greatness. Okay? I added the word true. Because most of the greatness in the world is false. It's fake. Hallelujah. And occasionally we're all drawn there. You know, somehow we're deceived. Okay? But somehow God always speaks to us to come back to what really matters. True greatness. And that is, and one of the ways we attain it is by self-sacrifice. Seek first the kingdom. You know, the interest of the king first, and the interests of his people second, before yours. All right? If we do that, then we shall attain true greatness. Glory be to God. Now, you know, when you read the Bible, or as you study the Bible, there's something called rightly dividing the word of truth. All right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? The reason why people find so many contradictions in the Bible is the failure to do that, to rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, to see how those seemingly contradicting scriptures actually are not contradicting each other. All right? Now, that's always do that as you study the Bible. But that not only applies in studying the Bible, okay? It also applies as we study the final question. Glory be to God. Page 83. Page 83. See? We have been on page 33. Now we have jumped what? Page 83. Because there's something important there. The last two sentences of paragraph 7. Page 83. Paragraph 7. The last two sentences. Jesus tells Rick Joyner, he tells him, I have not called you to sacrifice. Huh? Now that is contradicting what was already said on page 33, that the road to greatness is what? Self-sacrifice. Now here Jesus is saying, I have not called you to do what? To sacrifice, but to obey. Okay? Then he adds and says that sometimes you'll have to sacrifice in order to obey me. But if your sacrifice is not done in obedience, it will separate us. Okay? So, what are we supposed to do in order to attain true greatness? Is it to sacrifice or to obey? Sacrificing in obedience. Something like that. Hallelujah. Because if you sacrifice what God didn't want you to sacrifice, you are on your own things. Glory be to God. So he says, I have not called you. I have not called you to do what? To sacrifice, but to obey. Then he says, sometimes you will have to sacrifice in order to obey me. Hallelujah. And he says, if your sacrifice is not done in obedience. So the key thing is obedience. Okay? If your sacrifice is not done in obedience, it will separate us. God will be moving to the right, for you're busy sacrificing, thinking that you're impressing him. You know, and according to God, you are moving to the left. You're not walking together. You're not on the same page. How can two walk together unless they agree? Okay? All right? Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 18 to 22. Here is the account of a man called Saul who, instead of obeying, decided to think that he can sacrifice. Okay? You know the story, but we shall begin from verse 18. Verse 18, Samuel is speaking and says, and tells Saul, that now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? All right? The key thing is what? Obeying. Okay? Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. Even saying, guys took to sacrifice, not to my, your God. Isn't that a cool thing? Aren't you impressed? Okay? So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. To obey is better than what? Than with sacrifice. Okay? And we all know the story that for this reason, Saul lost his kingship. You know, like in our terminology, the mantle was taken from him. You know, for just one simple thing, and it is not simple. For just one thing called not obeying and choosing to sacrifice. You know, the Bible, so God found someone else who will do his will, because the key thing here God is interested in is obeying, doing his will. So when Saul is thrown out because of disobedience, all right, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, and when God had removed him, Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Not who will sacrifice, but who will do all my will. Who will obey me and do what I want to be done. Glory be to God. Okay? Hallelujah. So, the key thing, or the number one thing, the way to attain true greatness, number one, obedience to God, which sometimes calls for a sacrifice. Are you listening to me? This thing called obedience is a very major, it's too serious. I'm intrigued by how people just take this thing called obedience very lightly. Here is a king who lost a kingship. He didn't do any, he didn't kill anyone. You understand? He didn't murder, he didn't assassinate anybody. Do you understand? He didn't commit adultery. Do you understand? He didn't steal dimes. You know, people's sheep and oxen. The guy thought that instead of obeying, he can manipulate God by sacrifices. And he was thrown out. Hallelujah. Basically, he lost his greatness. This is king. You're number one in the land. And you lose it. You're the greatest in the land. And because of disobedience, he lost it. So he came from the top to the what? The boy, he lost it. You understand? So that means the way we get to the top is number one, by obedience, which sometimes will call for sacrifice. Hallelujah. All of us humans, we have this thing of trying to play God, to try, God tells you, go and pray. Then you don't want to pray for, so you think about some good thing which you think will appease God. Then you say, I'm going to sing, for example. You understand? Okay? Like God says, go, maybe I want you to be a member of, let's say, he tells someone, I want you to be a member of LAT. That's God's desire for you. Then you're like, LAT, what is great about this? Nothing. So you think about something that will appease God, some good thing, and which God is involved in actually, and say, for me, God, I will go to the other church. You understand? You know, then you even see, if I, when I get there, I'm going to do great things there. You see? You sacrifice. You think you're playing God. You think you're appeasing Him instead of obedience. Okay? Now, you will be there. You do all the great things there. You become great. Again, that fake, greatness. But when God in heaven is like, those are yours. Okay? Greatness. Okay? Rather, obedience, which sometimes calls for what? For sacrifice. Alright? You know these things, but we need to remind ourselves of them because it's very important. You know, there's no one who didn't want to be great. Hallelujah. But we want true greatness and we are learning how to attain it. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 9. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Oh, you see? God doesn't desire sacrifice and offering. But a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. God wasn't interested in sacrifices and offerings. He wasn't interested in those things. All he wanted was his will to be done. Okay? Verse 8, previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. All right? Glory be to God. So you see again the emphasis. Okay? God is like, I have no pleasure in sacrifice and offering. All I'm interested in is my will. You know, obedience. Okay? And so Jesus comes to do the will of God. But we know that that will, you know, obeying God, you know, required sacrifice. Basically, his body became a sacrifice. Okay? But if he had sacrificed his body out of disobedience, it would have been nothing. Like Alan would say, it would have been what? Nara. Glory be to God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Okay? To the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, now here it is, the greatness. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. Glory be to God. Okay, the road to greatness. Okay, Jesus obeyed even to the point of death. And when he did that, the will of the Father, okay, he was given a name or the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, shall bow in heaven, on earth and under the earth. Okay, greatness, obedience. It's here. You've seen it. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. Here is Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane, okay? And, things are tough, okay? And he cried out saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Okay, Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. It says, But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, his disciples, he told them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, okay, shall be slave of all. Okay, here now we are talking about the sacrifice, but which is out of obedience. Okay, so instead of loading it over others, you sacrifice out of obedience. You become a slave. Okay? And the Bible says that in that sense, you become first. Then it says in verse 45, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for who? For many. Glory be to God. Okay? Alright? So, obedience, which sometimes calls for sacrifice, okay, is one of the ways, we can attain true greatness. It will take us, it is a shortcut to the top of the mountain, to the highest level. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to the final quest. Page 35, paragraph 6. Rick Jonas says, I turned back to the angel and said, You must help me find the door that leads to the top. The angel looked perplexed. We are your servants, he responded. Now, how do we get to this point? What happened is, you remember, the ego showed him a door, okay? A door that would take him to the what? To the top. So, Rick Joyner went through that door, or he entered that door. So when he gets there, the way I see it, it's like there was a room, and in that room, it's like there were now other doors in there. You see, Okay? So while he's in that room, meanwhile, the ego has left. So now he's with angels, Okay? So there are many doors now in this room, Okay? And so this is when he turns to the angel and says, and tells the angel, you must help me find the door that leads to the top. The angel looked perplexed. We are your servants, he responded. But you must lead us. This whole mountain is a mystery to us. We all desired to look into this mystery, but after we leave this room, we'll be learning even more than you. Do you know where all the doors are? I asked. Yes. But we do not know where they lead. There are some that look very inviting, some that are plain, and some that are actually repulsive. One is even terrible. Okay? That sounds like what we read earlier, that the door that requires the most sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a pleasant thing. It doesn't feel good as far as the emotions are concerned. as far as the soul is concerned, the fallen soul. Eh? Okay? So he tells him, man, that room, there are doors there. You know, some look very attractive. Okay? Then he says, but some are actually repulsive. Okay? And then he says that one is even terrible. Page 36. In paragraph 1, we see a terrible door, which has a red stone around there. When Rick Joyner touched that stone, it led him to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he saw, how the Lord was in agony before his crucifixion. Okay? All right? Okay? So he saw a terrible door. That door, when he touched the stone, a red stone there, it got him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? Now, about that garden, it's talked about in Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 44. Jesus went there with his disciples, to pray. And in verse 41 it says, and he was withdrawn from them, from the disciples, about a stone throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Man, it was horrible. It was, now this is Jesus, who we all say, man, the Son of God, obedience, And now things are so tight, and he has the option of opting out. It was painful, okay? And he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. You see, agony, this is what Rick Joyner experienced when he touched that red stone, the stone that was at that terrible door. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now this door, was the one to lead him to the highest level, to the top of the mountain. You remember shortcut? We began shortcut. And obedience, which sometimes requires and then he gets to this point where now, this the terrible door. And this terrible door, basically he experienced the agony or the sacrifice that Jesus went through. Hallelujah. Amen. Then on page 37, paragraph 3, Rick Joyner says that I saw the presence of the Father depart from Jesus on the cross. I could stand it no longer. I quit. This he experienced a little bit of what Jesus went through. Hallelujah. This is when actually Jesus cried out in Matthew 27, 46, when he said, Father, Father, why have you, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay? The forsaking actually was the greatest suffering the Son, Jesus, experienced, being forsaken by the Father because of our sins. All right? Now, that was a door, that is leading to what? To the top of the mountain. Okay? Shortcut. Short what? Shortcut. True greatness. Okay? Now, what does this mean to us? It means, we say number one, attaining true greatness is obedience. We sometimes call for sacrifice. Okay, now, number two, it means we have to embrace the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah. We have to do what? The suffering of Christ. Should they come? Should they come? And they are coming. Hallelujah. But they come and you choose to either embrace them and go through them, or you opt out. You know, you refuse to go through that terrible door. Okay? The Bible says that all those who desire to live God in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. They will suffer. Okay? In the book of Acts, when the disciples, man, experienced tribulation, persecution, alright? The Bible says that they were glad, they rejoiced for having been counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. They had a mindset which the present church has lost. Glory be to God. You know, So there's a church that is to the extreme, has lost it, and that is, in my opinion, I believe it is the majority of the church, the body of Christ, worldwide. Okay? Okay? And all that they are talking about is what? Good life. Prosperity is coming. You understand? Greater life, all those things. Now, a few who have this revelation, or who have read it in the scripture and it's there that there is suffering, which is supposed to be taken advantage of, to attain true greatness, Among those few, they are also, now, they blame the lack of understanding of that to the guys who are into the good life, the prosperity gospel. Okay? So in a sense, even they themselves have also gone to the other extreme. Do you understand? However, the majority of the church is here. You know, guys don't what? The thing, it is there, very there, Jesus said, a servant is not greater than what? His master. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Hallelujah. There's a minister I know one time said suffering is, like he dished it. Then I said, but what about those scriptures? In my head, I was like, what about the other scriptures? What? A servant is not greater than me. If they persecute, they will persecute you. Okay? And then that thing where the apostles were glad, to suffer persecution for the sake of Christ. You understand? And the apostles say that what? All those who desire to live God in Christ will be persecuted. You will suffer. Hallelujah. Now, so Rick Joyner experiences what? The sufferings of Christ. Remember, it is the terrible door that is a shortcut. Don't forget that. The shortcut to what? To the top. And it is not a funny thing. It is not a pleasant thing. It is not a prosperity thing. Glory be to God. Jesus said, there is the narrow way. The narrow way. The narrow way, the narrow gate, anyhow, whatever it is. And there are few who do what? Who enter by it. Then there's a broad one, man. Many are on it. And he's leading them not to the top of the mountain. Glory be to God. Now, we should be able to embrace the sufferings when they come. Okay? I'm not talking about the sufferings that are because of our stupidity, our ignorance, or the sufferings which come because of disobedience. Okay? But these ones which come, you haven't done nothing. Hallelujah. Like Job, Job hadn't done anything wrong. Nothing. Because the word of faith, what? Who preachers, like me, eh? We somehow see things that, you know, we say that, because Job said that what I feared most has come upon me, you know? Okay? And say, you see, it is fear that opened the door for him being hammered, eh? You know, eh? But, but there was plans that were, there's a conversation in heaven, eh? You know, when God asked the devil, that man, have you considered my servant Job? See, there's no one like him, man. He didn't talk that sometimes he's in fear of what might happen to him. Eh? See, have you, his man is A class. And then he gave him permission to go and cause suffering. Very innocent chap. Hallelujah. Now, if we embrace the suffering when it comes, top of the mountain, true greatness. Hallelujah. Again, we're not talking about the greatness of this world. Eh? There's no Christian. Anyway, I've made the point. Okay? Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 30. Luke 22, verse 28 to 30. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. In my what? You have continued with me not in my prosperity. Eh? You have continued with me not in a great life, you understand? In my trials. That means that they were partakers of the trials. You understand? They were partakers. They tested, the sufferings of the master. So he says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom. Just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, sitting on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Glory be to God. What gets these guys to sit at the Lord's, table, to be among those who will, rule and reign with him, judging the 12 tribes of Israel? It is just this one thing, you have continued with me in my trials. Glory be to God. But they all had an option to opt out. You understand? That terrible door. An option to either walk through it or back off. And they continued with him in his trials. And say, for that matter, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Okay? That you may do what? That you may eat and drink at my table and sit on thrones. Now that is greatness. Sitting at the table with the Lord, not with, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you understand, the president, but with the Lord, okay, and sit on, on thrones, okay, when you read Revelations, it says that those thrones, are part of his throne, you remember, and we shall see here, I guess, as we continue to study the final question, those thrones they're going to sit on, okay, are part of Jesus' throne. And so that's why you will sit, judging leaders in Israel in the millennium. Glory be to God. Why? They had continued with him in his trials. Hallelujah. True greatness. Somehow this message of suffering has to be preached. The church has to what? But no one wants to touch it. Those who should touch it actually have, I don't know whether they have scriptures. They don't have scriptures, but they just have some logical reasoning, kind of stuff to explain it away. Hallelujah. And this is related to the first point. Remember, the first point is you attain true greatness by obedience, which sometimes calls for sacrifice. Okay? Now, sacrifice is not pleasing to the fallen soul. Okay? There's a degree of suffering. You know, here you are, you have your car, then God tells you to give it away. Okay? So, you sacrifice out of what? Obedience. Alright? And man, most probably you're going to suffer for some time. You understand? You're used to having AC, no dust, then no car. You're going to breathe in dust, you're going to, Okay, you have 5,000 shillings to buy you something to eat, and then God says, give away 2,000. Okay, so in a sense, you're going to suffer. The whole idea of doing without that which you would have, sacrifice out of obedience, causing suffering. So because most people don't want to suffer, in their theology there is no suffering, you understand? They can't give away that 2,000. Because I have 5,000, I'm supposed to take care of my meal. If I give away 2,000, that means I'll have to eat less, or actually not eat. You know, if now there's no food that costs 3,000. You know, and according to their theology, okay, there is no suffering. Children of God are not supposed to suffer. Then they're like, sorry, I'm not giving it away. They have opted out, of going through the terrible what? A terrible door. The door that leads to the top of the mountain. The door that gets you to attain true greatness. Hallelujah. May God raise up more people, all people, including me, to teach how Christians are called to suffer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say amen. Don't act like you're suffering. You're not suffering yet. Hallelujah. Okay. Obedience, which calls for sacrifice. Okay, that's number one. Number two, embracing the sufferings of Christ. You remember in Philippians 2, I guess it is, when Paul was saying that, that he's going after the high prize. You remember? Going after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? One of the things he says he does is what? Let's read it. He talked about the fellowship of what? Of the sufferings of Christ. Okay? Philippians chapter 2. I didn't plan to go there, but I can see some people are not convinced that they're supposed to suffer. Okay? Philippians 3, actually. Philippians 3, is it? Okay? You have found it, Joseph? Philippians 3:10. Okay? What does it say? Okay. You see? The fellowship of what? We just talk about that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Financial power, isn't it? Power. But that's not the only thing Paul said. All right? Now, power here is, you know, greatness. Okay? But that's not the only thing he says. And the fellowship of his suffering. Being conformed to his death. Okay? Suffering is which now the ultimate suffering, now dying. And so Paul said, and to be conformed to that. Glory be to God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Then in verse 14 it says, I press toward the goal for the prize or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How does he do that? Among the other things he does is embracing the sufferings of Christ. Glory be to God. Paul, we all want to be like Paul. You understand? The things he went through, rather the great Paul, miracles, revelations, visions. Okay? But no one wants to go through the things Paul went through, the sufferings. Paul didn't go through those sufferings because he was a sinner. Hallelujah. Many of them, of the sufferings he went through, it was because it was part of the package. Part of the package for those who will be great in the kingdom. Glory be to God. Okay? Sacrifice that comes with obedience. And that sacrifice is never a funny thing. Hallelujah. It's not something to be testified. People don't testify about, you know, without the sufferings of Christ. Amen? You remember that thing of how my kids were born? Eden, Abby, you know, God says that what? There are things you have done in the past, sacrifices you have made that have touched my heart. You see it? Okay? And then say, now, let me give you this greatness. You understand? In that area, sacrifices you have, but again, sacrifices which are out of what? Obedience. Hallelujah. When I had that dream, you remember when there was a vacancy, there's a vacancy, governor, Bank of Uganda. You know, I saw a guy, they were basically interviewing people, watching how they were living. I thought about that thing today, and I realized that with some of these things, mantles which people receive, some of them, it's not like they were predestined to have them. You understand? It's not like they were predestined to have them. But it's because if there are some mantles, some authorities God wants to give, and he's like, whosoever will. You understand? Because I thought about that dream today, where they were interviewing people, meaning that that thing was available to anyone at that point. You understand? At that point, God is looking for someone in Uganda to give what? Something. And he's like, whosoever will. This is not predestined for anybody, but you know, whosoever, you know, glory be to God. And you see, they were looking at their work, which, in my opinion, it was how people were giving, okay? Obedience, sacrifice, you know, they were looking, you're looking at, you know, Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay? Obedience, sacrifice, suffering, the road to greatness. True greatness. Glory be to God. Are you loving this? Hallelujah. Yes, it's the truth. I mean, you're the ones who love Rick Joyner. And do I think we should Rick Joyner experience? And thank God there are scriptures to them. Amen? Suffering. Suffering. There's so many things which, like LAT right now, it is what? Suffering in a sense. Not because LAT is doing anything. It is just, you know, okay? The road to what? To greatness. Where you have to first go through some unpleasant what? You understand? Where it is just a test. You understand? To whatever, to really show that you qualify for some things. Well, it is not really the suffering, like it's painful or what, but unpleasant things, you know, where ideally LAT is not supposed to be going through those things. But God is like, yeah, actually, because you are great, you are wonderful, that's why you're going through them. That's why this, you know, Hallelujah. So, Luke 22, 28, 28 to 30, Jesus says, you are those who have contended with me in my trials. Therefore, I bestow upon you a kingdom. Just like my father bestowed one upon me, that you may sit, you know, at my table and eat with me, and also sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They're sitting at the table with Jesus. That's greatness, man. And sitting on thrones, which are part of his thrones, to reign with him over Israel in the millennium. Okay? It's because they had continued with him in his trials. They hadn't, man, things get tight anymore. You back out, man. That's what Rick Joyner did. He went through that door, man. Shortcuts. A terrible door. Meanwhile, there are other inviting doors. You know, awesome doors. Not evil doors. Those doors were not evil. You go through them, you know. You get to some other places and they are good. You understand? They are in the kingdom. But, man, some other guy will go shoo-gwengo-shali, what? Just meandering in the mountain, you understand? You know, going higher, yes, but not at the rate God would want you to. Hallelujah. Okay? You've gotten that. Page 38. Today we have done from 30 what? Page 38, paragraph 7. You're there? Okay? He's at this door. He hasn't yet actually gone through it. But he says, as I approached it, this terrible door, I could feel the fear welling up inside me, but not nearly as intense as the first time. Unlike the other doors, it was very dark around this one, and I had to get very close to read the truth written over it. Mildly surprised, I read the judgment seat of Christ. You know, every door has a truth. You know, every door is representing a truth. So that's why the other doors were not evil doors. Those they're inviting. They're not evil. They are representing a biblical truth. However, they won't get you quickly to the top, to greatness. Okay? So now this door unpleasant. Okay? It was called, you know, the judgment. Basically, you go through that door, you're getting to the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? But let's continue to read. He says that Rick Joyner asks, why is this truth so fearful? I asked aloud, knowing that the angels would not answer me. As I continued looking at it, I knew that it was the one I should go through. There are many reasons it is fearful, the familiar voice of the angel responded. I'm very glad you came back, I replied. Have I made a poor choice? No, you have chosen well, the eagle assured me. This door will take you back to the top of the mountain faster than any other. Isn't this awesome? The door that requires the greatest what? We sacrifice to enter. Will always take you, to the top, So he said, this door will take you to the top of the mountain faster than any other. It is fearful because the greatest fear in the creation has its source through that door. The greatest wisdom that men can know in this life or in the life to come is also found through that door. Now, who doesn't want to be wise? And who doesn't want to be the wisest? And you say, now, if you want to be the wisest, or among the wisest, is go through that door. Hallelujah. Again, that door is called what? The judgment seat. And this is where the hyper grace guys are missing it. So do you realize how very few hyper grace fellows, you understand, are actually at the top of the mountain or actually on the road to the top of the, but they are saying very nice sounding things, which are just the lack of rightly dividing the word of truth. Tevaga will get about the judgment. Judgment. Hallelujah. Judgment. Glory be to God. And judgment is not a funny thing. It's not a pleasant thing. It is again, you see the context here is what? It's suffering. It's not a funny thing, man. But if you want to be great, true greatness, you have to embrace it, man, and go through and go there and be judged. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read. It says, the greatest wisdom. Now that means that the wise, like Alan will say, the sharpest guys in the kingdom are those who know, who know something about the judgment of God. Are you listening to me? If you're the wisest, then remember we're talking about attaining greatness. You want to be great? You want to be among the greatest, wisest? If there is a thing like that, if that is right English, judgment. The greatest wisdom that men can know in this life or in the life to come is also found through that door. Even so, very few will go through it. Here, guys who are shouting how they want to be wise. And here is a test. Are they able to what? To go through this door, to be judged. People say, no, they can't even go through that door because according to their doctrine, there's no judgment. No, apparently, it implies that, they are not wise. But they're saying nice things, which they cannot love, to hear. And you say those things, by the way, if you, start a fellowship and you can fill up that fellowship. Because most of Christianity, and that is most people in the world, are living in disobedience. And they want someone to make them feel nice in their disobedience. Do you understand? So they'll come to, Mark, you start a fellowship. And have good, oratory skills. You understand? Some will find a way of getting charisma. You understand? Be charismatic. Find a way of getting it. I don't know where you get it from. If you don't have it, maybe you go to the new, you read all those books, how to make friends and influence people, get the charisma, then your guys will come. Because most of Christianity is living, in disobedience. And some of them are convicted, and they just need someone to tell them some nice things, to silence the conviction. People actually say that God doesn't convict, the Holy Spirit doesn't what? Convict people. But they confuse condemnation with conviction. Conviction is of God. No? Condemnation is not of God. Never gather anything to tell them what? You are out of the will of God, and if you're not careful, you get judged. No. All the judgment was put on Jesus at the cross. That's what they say. God's wrath was satisfied on the cross. You understand? And I know those things, and there's a truth to it. But people take it to extremes which God has never intended them to go. And according to what we're reading here, it implies that if they have wisdom, then it is very little. Glory be to God. I'm not talking about your pastor, or your favorite preacher. For me, I'm just, trying to see what all these statements imply. So, even when this door, promises them the greatest wisdom in this life and in the life to come, it says that even so, very few will go through it. So do they really want wisdom? Do they really want to be wise? Do they really want to be great? They don't. Do they confess to, but in their hearts, free, Tevagala. Then, Rick Joyner asks, but why is this door so dark? The light of these doors reflect the attention that the church is presently giving to the truth behind them. The truth behind that door is one of the most neglected of these times. We're preaching prosperity, we're preaching grace, we're preaching the favor of the Lord, we're preaching, you understand? No one is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Now, let me make myself feel good. Years ago, like 3 or 2 years ago, Paul Jaser, he had a dream where, basically, most of you were there at the start. You remember it, Wedding Church made a year, I think, LAT. But when in this dream, basically, God was saying that he was pleased with me. Because I am among the very few who is depicting him as a lion. And in the dream it was saying, God was saying, I wish there were more preachers who are doing that. The lion, the judgment, And at that time, we were doing a lot of that thing, of teaching about that, the judgment seat of Christ, you understand? And he had a dream. He had just joined the church at that time, and he had a dream when someone was saying that God is like, I'm among the few who are depicting him as a lamb. Everyone is depicting him as a lamb. And God was saying that, I wish there were many more depicting him as a lion. Basically talking about the judgment. So you see here, it says that it is one of the most neglected truths. That's why the door is terrible. It's dark. The church didn't want to touch it. Okay? Then it says, the greatest authority, okay? You want to be the greatest, Remember where? Talking about attaining greatness. It says, the greatest authority that men can receive will be entrusted only to those who go through that door. Remember, where the door is leading to, The judgment seat. The door is called the judgment seat. So the greatest, now, don't you want to be entrusted with the greatest authority? Honestly, for me, I want. Okay? Greatest authority in any sphere, in the sphere God has called you to, do you want to be among the greatest? Okay? He says, go through this door. Embrace the doctrine of that God is a judge. You understand? He's not there to just be played around with. Amen? Okay? Joan, don't you love this? The greatest authority. Now this is awesome. The greatest authority that men can receive will be entrusted only to those who go through this door. We're talking about greatness in the kingdom. True greatness. Damba, worship leader. God, because God is like, I want to give
some authority in worship, spiritual authority, I'm looking for a worship leader in this country. Okumua authority, not just singing, entertaining people, never zina, never sanyuka. Then the man, it was powerful. Why? You just excited their emotions. And because most Christians are kind of the same, it was powerful. And when is the next meeting? You understand? But when someone who is spiritual really gets there and they really, there's no substance, it's just carnality, being excited. So God now is looking for worship, some worship leaders in the country to entrust them with authority. You understand? And whenever Sangha, they don't believe that God is a judge. They are just saying, how what? Oh, the judgment, what? Satisfied on the cross. So you find people singing nice songs, nice lyrics. Nice lyrics, what? If they are ladies, what, their hair is all made, what, lipstick, what, makeup, they're looking good, worship leaders. But when there's no substance in what they are singing, it is just exciting carnality. And because most Christians are carnal, you know, those rooms get filled. Because people are carnal, so anything that make their carnality, what? Baja kuja. And they will say, man, that's great. And you get many Facebook what? Friends. And then now you think because you have many Facebook, you're great. Can you imagine? Facebook friends, that's how you measure greatness? That's how fallen man this church is. Hallelujah. Damba, really, don't you want to go? When God is like, I'm looking for and you worship leader greatness, Because now when you understand that God is a judge, now as a worship leader, man, you take things very seriously. Please, this worship group is not for what? Just entertainment, to be seen. You understand? Those kind of things. This sound is not glorifying God. No, Patrick, no. But people are just smiling. Yeah, Patrick, there's no condemnation. You know, God loves you. Don't worry. You will improve. What? This is how everyone wants to be what? Dealt with. And God is saying now. Then God leaves Uganda. Then he goes to Kenya. Looking, there's something he wants to give. And he's looking for somebody to give it to. Never, never, no condemnation. And they're right. There's no condemnation. However, the way they're applying it is what? Mark, don't you? John, this thing, for me, it's the greatest authority that men can receive will be entrusted only to those who go through this door. You guys, isn't this awesome? Greater like financial authority. For example, you're in business, you understand? Who you want to get, you understand? You want to be entrusted with money, spiritual, financial anointing. But you don't realize that God will judge you how you use his money. When he gives us riches, all good things to enjoy. So that is only scripture, you know. In your head, money, just to enjoy, just, you know. You don't realize that it's not your money, you're a steward. You know, God expects you to consult him how to what? We use it. And one day you require an account how you have used his money. And that is judgment, isn't it? So you don't like those things. Now, you can't be entrusted with what? With financial authority. You can't. Glory be to God. Okay? Man, let's go for this. Attain greatness. Okay? Okay? Okay. So, it says, when you see Jesus Christ sitting on this throne, you'll be prepared to sit with him on it, on that throne of judgment. Then this door would not be so dark and foreboding if we're just giving more attention to this truth I asked. That is correct. If men knew the glory that is revealed behind that door, the glory, revealed behind that door, the judgment seat of Christ, it would be one of the most brilliant, the eagle lamented. However, it is still a dark, a difficult door to pass through. I was told to return and encourage you because you will soon need it. You will see a greater glory, but also a greater terror than you have ever known. A greater what? Remember, he's not going to hell. Eh? Okay, this, you know, door is getting him to the throne of God, of Jesus. Okay? And there he's told, you're going to see terror. So this is not the terror of the devil terrorizing people. This is the terror of the Lord. How many great guys do you hear talking about the terror of the Lord? The terror of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, to a degree, man, I live. People can say, maybe I don't know the love of God, you know. But those are yours. But for me, most of the things that I do them without answer. What? The terror of the Lord. That's why I'm not ready to get anyone in LAT who God hasn't what? Who gotten in. Start using stupid what dynamics. You understand? The terror of the Lord. If you're so hardened and you can't experience it here on earth, a day is coming. The Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That day is coming where people are going to experience the terror of the Lord for all the nonsense they did in the name of the Lord. And now for me, I don't want that terror. I know it's there. I don't want it. So, you know, I endeavor to walk man carefully. You can say, I don't know the grace of God. I don't know the love of God. I live in fear like Job. You understand? Now, those are yours. But at least one day, God, he commended me. He said, I wish there are many more like Pastor Moses. Who? To depict me as a lamb that I am. All right? So, you will see a greater glory. Remember, we're talking about greatness. Glory is greatness. So you see a greater glory, but also a greater terror than you have ever known. Because you have chosen the difficult way now, it will be much easier for you later. Because you're willing to face this hard truth now, it's a hard truth, okay? But you face it, you will not suffer loss later. Okay, you will be great. If you suffer loss, then you're not great. But if you embrace this truth, then you will be great. All right? Many love to know his kindness, but very few are willing to know his severity. If you do not embrace both, you'll always be in danger of deception and a fall from his great grace. People say you cannot fall from the grace of God. Now those are yours and those are theirs. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that I would never come here if I had not spent the time I did at the Red Stone. Okay? That Red Stone got him to experience the sufferings of Christ. You remember? How could I keep trying to take the easy way? Okay? The easy way. The easy way is that way other than the way to the judgment seat. That's the easy way. Okay? So he says, how could I keep trying to take the easy way when that is so contrary to the nature of the Lord? What is contrary to the nature of the Lord? Easy ways. Hallelujah. Easy what? Easy ways. Easy ways. Man, in the quest for power, for, you know, spiritual power, anointing, what? Do you know what many preachers have done? Well, not many, but some preachers. Do you know what guys have done? Guys have entered into or tapped into the occult. You know, there's a guy, I used to know him years ago, and that guy, from what I understand from a reliable source, a preacher, a pastor, you know, that guy, man, one time bought a ticket, went to Nigeria, okay, and man, when he came back, he didn't want to, like, the same people who he was avoiding, and the reason people were like, the reason why this guy is avoiding some people could be because what he did when what he went to what to Nigeria. Some preacher I knew sometime, but I don't think right now if I meet him I can recognize him. But why? Power. Because power will grow if you have a fellowship or a church. It will grow, you understand? So power. So in the quest for that, man, people have done stuff, you know? Again, that is what? The easy way. Okay? The easy way. The easy way, just do some marketing nonsense, advertisement. You know, instead of the difficult way of getting the presence of God into a church, so you go for the easy way. You know, and when you get the presence, God will draw his people. You know, it says that when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Now, getting the presence is not an easy thing, especially when you're dealing with carnal Christians. People are going to worship in God, you understand? The only thing on their heads are their needs. Can't get them to focus on Jesus, you know. Hallelujah. So getting in the presence is not an easy what? An easy thing. It's difficult. So the easy way is, man, just do some kind of things. And because generally most of the Christians are carnal, you know, it will work. But one day, you're going to face the terror of the Lord. Okay? So, the easy ways are contrary. You know? So, that's why the easy ways usually involve, the easy ways are, you know, basically obedience, which oftentimes requires sacrifice, and that sacrifice is akin to suffering. You understand? Hallelujah. That is the road to greatness. Okay? So number three, how to attain the greatness. It is the last one. Don't worry. And I've already quoted that scripture, but let's read it. And most of you know it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. You there? Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." You can choose to appear there now. Like Rick Joyner. He appeared there before that day, the day that is coming. Okay? And he says, and he was told that for that matter, you will not suffer loss later. Okay? So you can choose to embrace the doctrine of the judgment of God and the understanding of the judgment seat of Christ now, so that it can help you to live, you know, soberly. Okay? However, if you brush it aside, here it says, everyone has to, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Even for the bad that you've done, you're going to receive. Glory be to God. It's here. You can't, you know, it's here. Hallelujah. Then verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." So if God satisfied all his terror on the cross,
Where is this other terror coming from? Mpora. You what? Mpora, great what? Where is this other terror? So that means that what? Kind of, we don't understand the scriptures by shouting it. We don't understand them well. Because he is saying that, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We do what? Why do we persuade men? Because we know the terror of the Lord. Paul knew the terror of the Lord. Because you see, you see what he says? He says that therefore knowing. So that means that Paul knew the terror of the Lord. Paul, the greatest grace preacher. Someone can even say the father of the grace movement. The founder of the grace church. I'm joking, but you understand what I mean. He knew the terror of the Lord. Okay? And according to the book, The Final Quest, if you go through that door to the judgment seat of Christ, then you are on your path to greatness. Hallelujah. So three things to attain true greatness: obedience, which sometimes call for sacrifice. Number two, embracing the trials of Jesus or the sufferings of Jesus. For he told the disciples that you are those who have done what? You know, walk with me in my trials, and therefore I bestow upon your kingdom. Okay? Well, number three, embracing the sufferings of Christ. Okay? And basically, getting to know the terror of the God of judgment. Alright? Know the terror of the God of judgment. But the judgment is not to destroy you, eh? Okay? That's the difference, eh? Judgment is not to destroy people. Okay? But we shall talk more about these things in the lessons to come. Glory be to God. Amen.